Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Suzuki Seijun is a great Japanese director who made his mark in the 1960s as a B-movie maker at Nikkatsu, a Japanese studio, specializing in low-budget Yakuza picks. He's still directing movies today, and he's known for his stylized images and experimental takes on traditional themes. A retrospective of his work, Action, Anarchy, and Audacity, is playing now at TIFF, so this week I'm going to talk about two of his early Yakuza films, as well as a psychological thriller. 10 Cloverdale Lane, directed by Dan Trachtenberg. Hey, it's present day on the Gulf Coast in the U.S. Michelle, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is an aspiring young fashion designer with dark hair and determined look. She's leaving her husband and driving she knows not where. But on the highway, there's a sudden boom, and her car rolls over into a field. She wakes up, cuffed to a metal bed in a cell. What happened? What was she doing there? She hears there's a young guy in the next room. Is this some sort of prison? So she stages an elaborate escape, only to discover she's deep underground in a hermetically sealed bunker. It's the home of Howard, played by John Goodman, a huge man with a childlike demeanor. He's no kidnapper, he says. He's a do-it-yourself survivalist, apparently one with a black belt in conspiracy theories. He found her on the road and saved her life. And there's no reason ever to go back outside again because everyone's dead and the air is filled with poison gas. Emmett, who's the guy in the next room, says he helped build the place and he isn't a prisoner either. He had to fight his way into the shelter when the invasion started. So the three of them form an odd trio. Emmett, played by John Gallagher Jr., who regrets not tattooing YOLO on his forehead. Howard, who's a budding dictator that loves being isolated with a young woman, and our resourceful heroine, Michelle. So is it safer inside or out? Can Howard be trusted? And are they really under attack, or is this just one of his fantasies? Okay, 10 Cloverdale Lane is a follow-up to Cloverdale, but completely different movie. I'm not even sure if it's a sequel, a prequel, or what I would call an equal, meaning it takes place at the same time as the first movie. Cloverdale was a found footage sci-fi thriller shot on a handheld video camera. This one feels more like a stage play on a small set, part horror, part psychological thriller. Excellent acting by all three of them with an interesting story, but one that sometimes meanders. So it's not perfect, but it's totally watchable. Kanto Wanderer from 1963. It's the 60s in Tokyo. Three high school girls, one of whom's the daughter of a Yakuza godfather, are thrilled and fascinated when handsome Katsuta, played by movie star Akira Kobayashi, a young bodyguard, notices them. The three of them sneak into a shop to ogle another Yakuza, enduring the painful but exotic at the time practice of getting a tattoo. That's Diamond Fuyu from a rival gang. So these short encounters help trigger a series of events of rivalry and revenge within the two groups. One of the young women, the one Fuyu likes, who is determined to see the world, and she falls for another hood from Katsuta's gang, and the man secretly sells her into sex slavery as a prostitute. Katsuta, meanwhile, still has a crush on Fuyu's sister. She's a con artist who's married to a much older card cheat. So in this world, Yakuza members are told they should only wear red or white. Red is a prison uniform, and white means a corpse. So which color will Katsuta end up wearing? Tokyo Drifter from 1966. Tetsuya, played by Watari Tetsuya, is a Yakuza protector for the gang leader who also owns a Tokyo nightclub, but his gang is falling on hard times. He's in love with Chiharu, played by Chieko Matsubara, a high-class singer. But when a rival gang tries to steal the club away, it ends up in a gun battle with dead people. So he takes the fall for his boss and decides to become a drifter, a sort of a modern-day Ronin without ties to a gang. And he flees south to Sasebo, which is a big U.S. Navy town. But chased by cops and rival gang members, he realizes he's a marked man who's going to die. So will he fight to the end or die quietly? And who sold him out? Interestingly, the movie also has a meta aspect where the title of the film is also the title of a song sung by the nightclub singer. And the song is about the character who's a Tokyo drifter. And that character himself later whistles the tune about himself, which is the name of the movie. So Kanto Wanderer and Tokyo Drifter are similar movies, both about Yakuza members who are ironically criminals, but ones who are brave, true, good people, and above all, loyal to their boss. And both of them may have bosses who are actually corrupt, selfish, and venal. So are they spending their lives defending someone who doesn't deserve to be defended? The two movies were made 3 years apart, but what an incredible difference. A lot of people say the Tokyo Olympics was a turning point in modernizing Japan. So Kanto Wanderer could be a samurai period piece with Katsuta wearing kimono and he carries a sword and the gamblers play traditional card games. Nothing modern about it. Tetsuya, in contrast, is totally modern, Western, dressed in a bright pale blue suit, and he lives in a world of pop art nightclubs with glass walls and yellow halls. Suzuki's like a Picasso, so when you follow in movies, you can watch him develop from realist to interpretive to totally cubistic or abstract, whatever you want to call it. He hints at his future style in Kanto Wanderer when the backdrop suddenly turns intense red the moment he commits a bloody crime. But by the time 3 years later you get to Tokyo Drifter, the scenes are shot on enormous sound stages with vibrant yellow or blinding white backdrops and stairways going nowhere. All these movies are amazing to watch, and you should see it on the big screen while you still can. 10 Cloverdale Lane opens today in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Action, Anarchy, and Audacity, Seijun Suzuki Retrospective. Go to tiff.net for times. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.